All right, well, we'll go ahead and... Oh, thanks, Leroy. Leroy, I think those are Spanish pens. I don't know how well they work. If you really work at it. She writes in Spanish. All right, if you need a pen, there's pens right up here, too. So, all right, well, we'll go ahead and get started. Does anybody need a pen? Might as well cover that. We've got a few gathering up. What a blessing. Oh man.
You know what they call it? A man that talks a lot. I never figured that out.
You will eventually.
All right, well, thanks for coming over here tonight. I appreciate it. And we're going to get started. We'll be pretty casual as we go through. We're not going to be, it's not going to be a great and intense, you know, like in a service where everything kind of doesn't stop once it gets started. If you want to interrupt me, you can, if you need to. Try not to do it too much, but we're going to pray, and Pastor's making an announcement over there just in case anybody intended to come over here, and then their day got going busy, and they just forgot to slip on over here. So we're going to pray and kind of cover just a couple basic things and give anybody time to do that, and then we'll jump right in, and we'll say more about all that as time goes on. So anybody have anything you want us to pray for as we go to prayer this evening? I want to encourage you. Pat Shaw had surgery this morning. And she came through her surgery well, and so we're thankful that was that shoulder surgery that had gotten delayed, and so thankful that it was able to get done. And so rejoice with them for sure, and just pray the Lord would help her now as she recovers. And then pray for Bert. Bert has a back surgery next Wednesday, and that is just something that they've been planning for a while. And so just pray that the Lord would bless and get him ready for that, and everything would go smoothly there. Anything else you want us to pray for as we pray together as a group this evening? I thought it was then, but I was looking on here and didn't see it written on here. So, so it's the 10th as well. So Connie Fish's surgery as well on the 10th. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Very good. Anything else this evening? Other things tonight? Okay. Well, let's pray, and then we'll go on. Father, thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us tonight to come together into this room. Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to and to have this group here. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless the time that we have together this evening, and pray that you would bless this ministry as we seek to just get the word out, but Lord, get the word in, as our goal is to try to be grounded in the word and to ground others in your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we get ready. And Lord, I know that some may be here tonight just thinking that they just want to find out a little bit more. As I said, would certainly be part of the goal of the next couple weeks. But Lord, some already are thinking this is something they may very well like to do. And so Lord, I pray that you would guide and that you would bless and help in it. And Lord, I just pray for your work to be done. Lord, through us, we want to be willing vessels, and we just ask for your touch. We do pray for Pat Shaw. She recovers now from her surgery. Lord, thank you for letting it happen this time and that it went well. I pray that you just help the process to go smoothly and the pain. I know she was in a lot of pain before, and I pray that that would continue to now subside as the healing process takes place. And Lord, just pray you'd meet her needs with the many other things that she faces on a regular basis, and Brother Joe as well. And we pray for Annie's dad. We pray for his salvation. Lord, just pray that you'd continue to work through them and in him and through the different circumstances and people around him. And Lord, just pray that you draw him to you. And then, Lord, we pray for Mrs. Gallion and this grandson that she's mentioned and the unspoken that she has. Lord, I pray that you would work in the situation, whatever it might be, to work out your will. And Lord, just pray that you'd help them, Brother and Miss Gallion, as they do whatever they can do in part, in keeping and with part of this, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray for Bert's back surgery next week and Connie's surgery with the cancer that she's facing. Lord, I pray for both of them that the surgeries would go well and that you would work through them and work through these times in their lives. Continue to pray for Leslie. I know she had treatment just a couple days ago, and pray that as that those effects are probably in full swing for that. And Lord, just pray for her. Pray for Wade and Elizabeth and Andrew as well as they go through this with their parents from afar. Lord, thank you for this day. Bless this night. Bless the service taking place in the auditorium, Patch, and the teenagers downstairs. Lord, just pray that it'd be a great night here at our church. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, good. Well, just a reminder, as we're getting ready for Sunday, this Sunday is the day that we're recognizing Veterans Day. So if you know a veteran that you'd like to invite, I encourage you to try to get him here Sunday morning. And we'll be giving a gift out to all those who are with us on Sunday and just having a time of recognition for that in the service. So if you know somebody, try to invite him. And then Sunday night is Stephen Carrier's ordination service. Going to be a special night, and you don't want to miss that. And I just want to make sure everybody knows about those things, okay? All right. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. I hope that that we get going, I want you to just think about a couple things, and we're just going to jump right in. I don't intend to go all the way to 8 o'clock. I want to leave some time at the end. If you have any questions you want to ask me, you can ask me then, or you could just slip out and meet whoever you need to meet, maybe over to the auditorium, or just spend some time fellowshipping. But I don't want to take all that time. And if you just to kind of prepare you with that. But as we go, there's going to be some things that I say that probably I don't explain as fully maybe as you would like in the moment. It'd be a great time for you to jot down a note real quick, and you could ask me afterwards, or if you feel maybe that Dr. Getz, who teaches some of the preaching classes at college, would often say, if there's a mist in the pulpit, there's a fog in the pew. And so what he meant by that is, if it's a little bit hazy up here, no one can see what's going on out there. And so if you think, you're thinking, oh man, I don't know what in the world he's talking about right now, and you feel like it'd be pertinent, you can interrupt me. I'd be more than happy. We'll kind of treat this a little bit more like a classroom than we would a normal preaching time, because I want this to be effective in communicating what we want to do. And if you were here Sunday night, if I would assume probably all of you were, if you're in here, you wouldn't know that we were in here unless maybe you caught the service after, or maybe somebody that was here told you about it. But our desire as a church is to be a church that is helping people to grow in their faith through being intentional as a discipling ministry. And if you heard, I'm not going to re-preach certainly the message that I preached on Sunday night, because that took 45 minutes that time, and it would do so probably again tonight. But that was kind of the heartbeat behind it. I did not share a lot of technical things about the plans and the programs. It was just trying to help us as a church family to have a heartbeat that is focused on the right things. And so I gave you some notes. I gave you one of the books. And as we got started tonight, I need to grab one for myself as well. But we're going to cover some things about this tonight, just to give you a little bit of an expectation. We'll cover some of this tonight. My goal is to get all the way through this notes sheet, and you can keep that with you, and you can kind of look over it after the fact. But then we'll kind of look at this book real quick as well at the end. This book that I gave to you is the curriculum that we'll use in communicating the basics of our faith as we try to bring people along as they grow as believers. And so as we go forward, there's just a couple things that I want to say. Number one, you might be listening to me tonight and you might think, and I know really all of you, but maybe some of you think, wow, this is I'm not really sure I really even understand all that we're trying to accomplish here. And so I'm going to talk tonight in a lot of ways like you're already lock, stock, and barrel involved in this ministry. But that's just because I can only re-explain and re-say things in so many different ways. So you might be kind of on the fence a little bit in a good way, still thinking, I just needed to learn a little bit more. And so don't feel bad if you listen to me tonight and you think, I don't know if that's really something that I could be involved in on a regular basis. You're not going to offend me or anything like that. It's just really hard for me to cover all those things. I'm not that politically correct where I can say everything so smoothly that I just cover all those bases, okay? So I'm going to talk that way, but just know I am aware that some of you might be thinking, I just wanted to find out a little bit more, like you said on Sunday night. But also, as we go, our desire is to get ready for January the 3rd or something like that, or I don't remember, maybe it's the 4th or 5th, but right in there, that first Wednesday night of the new year is when we're intending to launch the program itself. And that is, we're going to be trying to reach out to people that are within our church already, or new believers that we can even see saved here in the next few weeks. And we're going to be trying to reach out to those people and see if they would be interested in having someone come alongside them and teach them the basics of the Christian life and the basic doctrines of the Word of God, because that's what you'll see is in this book. And we'll open it up kind of right near the end tonight as well. But as we look at the notes that I gave you, I don't have a lot of slides, just kind of have that placeholder up there. So I'll be working a little bit more heavily off our notes. But why don't you take your Bible, have the text up there at the top, and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2. It's not a verse that is unknown to us. Very likely a lot of you already know it. It's one of the classic verses on this concept that we have. And then there's one other verse that is right on the front of, I think I put the wrong reference in there. I put 8:41. It should be 8:31. But John 8:31, we'll get to in a second. It's on the front of that book, so you may not have to necessarily turn there. But 2 Timothy 2:2 says this, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy, obviously, in this book. He said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The biblical model of discipleship is that it would be truth given to me and then passed from me to someone else and then from me to someone else and so on and so forth. And that's what is inherent in the Great Commission. Jesus challenged the disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and other passages as well that we could reference. He challenged them to be people, as I talked about on Sunday night, that are going in order that they might make disciples or win people to the truth. So go, win is kind of how sometimes we'll say it. Baptize, the first step of obedience as a believer, and then teach them to observe all things, as Jesus said, whatsoever I've commanded thee, or all things I've commanded thee. And so that's the model. The Great Commission is a holistic truth for us to follow. You can't follow one part of it and not follow another part and say that we are Great Commission minded, because they're all parts of a whole unit. And so that was Jesus' command, and they did that, and eventually, obviously, it got to Paul, and Paul was ministered to by some who discipled even him in the faith, despite all the things that he knew. And eventually, we got to this point where Paul had then reached Timothy, or either led him to Christ or came alongside of him if he already knew Christ but was just not very well or not developed in his faith. And Paul taught him, and then Paul challenges Timothy to keep doing that and keep reproducing. So basically, discipleship is about reproduction. Reproduction of ourselves, if we can put it that way, but not because it's all about us, but the truth that is in us and has changed us and has grounded us, reproducing that in the life of another person. And that's why I say discipleship is not a program. What we're trying to start on Wednesday night, here in just about 9 weeks or so, that program will not in and of itself accomplish the goal, the goals that we'll look at in a little bit, but the ultimate goal of making or producing or helping to grow spiritually maturing, committed disciples. 14-week program just doesn't cut it. I mean, I've been a Christian for a lot longer than 14 weeks, and I'm still on my way, and you would probably all say the same. And so then just want to clear the air as we kind of get started. But I want to ask you to consider something with me this evening. Because our goal, if you look at the purpose, I say our goal in starting an organized discipleship program is to be intentional about spiritual growth ministry-wide and to meet the need for grounding people in the basics of the Word of God. That's the purpose that I put there at the top of your notes handout. So we want, as a ministry, not just to assume that we're accomplishing it. If you want to have, or if you see a lush, beautiful, fruitful garden or farm, the implication is somebody has done a lot of work. I mean, you don't drive by somebody's house and see, you know, if it's just a small garden, you see whatever it is that they have growing there, tomato plants, maybe some pepper plants, some beans, maybe a row of corn, and just not a large garden, but just kind of got a few of all those different things. And it's all it looks awesome. You don't look at that and think, man, those people are lucky. You think, no, somebody went out there one day, got a rototiller, and they broke up that ground, and they broke it up, and they broke it up. They got anything out of it they didn't want it, if there was any rocks or anything in it. And then after they did that, this would be a very oversimplified process, but then they took the opportunity with the nice soft ground, and they planted rows of whatever it is that they wanted. They planted it right. You know, some seeds need to be planted deeper than others, some not quite so deep, and there's a care even in that. And so if they're going to plant 8 different things in their little plot of ground, then they've got to know, okay, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to plant this right. Then after you plant it, then you got to water it. And you don't just water it sporadically. You got to water it regularly. So you're watering it regularly. You're weeding it when the weeds come. You're making sure that when the tomato plants get big enough, you put cages around so they don't fall over. There's a lot of work. The point is this: growth, good, fruitful, lasting growth is always best when done intentionally. You never think, when you see a garden like that or a farm, to make it even a larger scope, you never think, man, somebody just went out there one day and just started throwing seeds all around and you never would ever think that, because it's just not how it happens. It's the same with spiritual growth. Those principles apply. They're just so much more significant when it goes from a plant to a person. And so that's something we have to keep in our mind. And I want you to have this perspective. This is the first point. It's a really just kind of a to get you thinking point as we look at the official points of the lesson tonight. I want you to have this perspective as we go forward over the next couple minutes. When I think about reaching people and intentionally trying to come alongside someone and help ground them in their faith, I want to ask you to think, there's two ways to ask this question. What if you either, number one, did have somebody come alongside you in a very intentional mentorship type way when you were a young Christian? How much more would that have helped you? And the implication of that question would be that you didn't have one. You got saved, and maybe it was just kind of, you just kind of bounced around for a little while, and you had gone maybe to church, maybe on a bus, or maybe maybe even with your family, but there was not a lot of intentional discipleship. It was just, there was an assumption of growth, but not an intention for growth. So what if you had had somebody that actually came alongside you and said, hey, I'm going to take you under my wing, and I'm going to teach you, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to try to help guide you, I'm going to help answer your questions. How much would that have helped you? You might say, well, Daniel, I had that. Well, let me ask the question this way. What if you hadn't? How much would that have hurt you? If you hadn't had that pastor or youth pastor or parent or Sunday school teacher or whoever it was for you that really effectively helped you to get grounded in your relationship with Jesus Christ, think about where you would be right now. So I ask you that. I try to help put that perspective in your mind to help you think. That's what we're trying to be for others. We want to try to help make sure people have that type of relationship, because I believe that it is inherent in the way God desires ministry to be accomplished. And that's why I took you on Sunday to the passage of Jesus calling out his disciples and tried in that time that we had to point at that as the model that Jesus set for us. Jesus called out 12 people to be with him continually because he knew that mentorship is one of the most effective ways to teach. And it is great to have you. We've had big meetings here. There's been humongous meetings of Christians gathering together all throughout Christian history. Some maybe more popular at certain times than others. And those are all well and good and essential. Jesus had great meetings as well. Brother Dan mentioned the feeding of the 5,000 this morning in our staff meeting. And there's been those huge moments all throughout Christian history, but a lot of the most effective moments have been that small scale relationship. And so that's what we're trying to foster through a program like this. We're trying to find people that are in need of those type of relationships, whether they've been saved for a long time and they've just never really had that growth, or somebody that just got saved and they hardly know anything, and they certainly need that because we all do at some point or another. And so that's just a perspective for you to consider. Okay, the second thing I want you to think about is this, the philosophy I want you to understand. This was a struggle for me to try to boil it all down in the midst of everything I knew I would say up to this point, I've already said, and I'm going to say, but I tried to just put some specifics here for us to think about just real briefly as we go forward, okay? The big picture is, as I've probably belabored already, specifically and intentionally laboring to facilitate spiritual growth. That's the big picture. And so what I mean by that is this. That's our desire ministry-wise. We want to make sure we are actually helping people grow. You know, in church, we often assume people are growing. They come to church. They're at the fellowships. They come to the activities. So they must be growing. But that's not really the best practice. It's probably true. They probably are. I would sure hope so. We try to preach the Bible. We try to have Sunday school classes that are teaching the Word of God. We try to be we try to minister to one another in our fellowship times before and after church and in our activities. They're designed for that. But our desire is to make sure we are being specific and intentional about it. And so in that pursuit, one thing we believe we need is a program that we are making sure we're taking the basics of our faith and passing them on to other people. We want to make sure that the people that have them, and I know all of you in this room, you have a grounding in the Word of God that some of you, I'm sure, would do a much better job communicating even some of these thoughts probably than I would, especially some of the things in here you've taught for years and years, and you know many of these things. But we want to make sure we're passing that on to people. And like I said on Sunday night, there is something extremely special about having had the opportunity to do that, not just generally. I get a lot of wonderful opportunities to teach and to preach. And when you preach like I did on Sunday night, and there's maybe a couple hundred people in the room, there's hardly anything that makes me any more thrilled than being able to do that. And some of you would maybe say, hey, I never want to do that. I mean, I never would want to get up in front of a group like that and things like that. This is the nice thing about this format. You certainly don't have to. But even those opportunities, as wonderful as they are, sometimes they're a little bit ambiguous as to whether or not they're effective. But when you sit down at a table, you say, well, I've never seen these tables before. That's because they're new for this ministry. And these are the tables you're going to sit at across from or kind of diagonal from somebody else here in a few months. If you believe the Lord would have you in this ministry, sit down with them. Sit down with this book and take it. And whatever lesson you're on, you're going to open to that page. You're just going to explain the truth to them across the table. They're long enough so you can fit your coffee, your snacks, your Bible, your book. I mean, all those different things. And we'll have refreshments. I didn't have the coffee up. Maybe you early enough tonight for many people to get it, but there'll be refreshments every week while we're in here for training. We'll have it when the people, when you come and you disciple people, just try to make it just a warm, inviting atmosphere for people to come and just enjoy some a really casual time, but instructive and intentional time as well. And but as we look at that, our desire is so that it can be specific. And what I was getting at was there's just something really special about knowing that you've had an impact in that person's life, as opposed to hoping you've had an impact in their lives. And then, and I don't mean to undermine the one in order to build up the other, because they're both essential for the whole. But that's just something that we want to make sure we're doing as a ministry. And this is one way that we're going to do that. We're going to begin to try to implement this all across throughout the ministry. Pastor and I, really one of my primary roles will be this, not just in this program on Wednesday nights, but through our adult Sunday school classes and different things. And that's where a lot of these relationships will be facilitated and grow as well, but we'll get to that stuff down the road. All right, so that was the big picture, the purpose. These would be goals. Be another way to say that under the philosophy to understand is this. The number one, help grow spiritually maturing, committed disciples. That's going to be a statement that I'll probably make a lot. Spiritually mature or maturing, committed disciples. That's what we want to see as we labor in the lives of other people. We want to make sure people are actually getting grounded and growing in their faith and are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, as a person who's on this side of the relationship, and we'll get to that here in just a second, but the discipler or the discipling side of the relationship, it's essential that we be that as well, because you produce, you know, everything produces after its own kind. And if I'm not faithful, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, if I'm not setting a good example, then I'm probably going to not produce a commitment. If I'm not committed, which kind of the word I was looking for, if I'm not committed, then I probably won't produce after that kind. If and you could take that on in so many different directions. But the basic fact just being, we want to make sure that we are trying to help people get to that point. And your example is one of the greatest things that will help communicate that. You'll say a lot of truth to people as you try to disciple them, but your life speaks just as much as your words do, if not more. As Pastor Chappell would often say, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, right? And so that's the essential thing that we want to make sure that we'll get to that a little bit more here in a second. But so to grow spiritually maturing, committed disciples. Number two, to ground new believers and others, and I said this really already, in their faith and in the Word of God. So that would be kind of the specific, as opposed to the more general spiritually maturing, committed disciples. Specifically, this book is not going to answer everybody's questions, okay? I mean, there's no way. There's no book that answers everybody's questions except for this one, and you still got to find the answers, right? And but this book is a platform to help. But if you want to open it up, if you haven't done that already, you can look it up and you can see in the table of contents what it covers, right? The Word of God is week number one. Knowing God. Who is Jesus? Your salvation, these are some of the topics covered. Developing a prayer life. Your relationship with God's Word as opposed to some doctrinal facts about it. The Holy Spirit, the life of a disciple, the local church, your place in your church family, financial stewardship, go and tell the good news, but it'll get all the way to the end. Living in light of eternity, and then continuing in that walk as well. So a mix of Christian life principles and basic doctrines of our faith, knowing about who Jesus is and what the Bible has to say about him. And so our goal is to try to help people know those things a little bit more clearly. Because if I asked you tonight to show me from the Bible how you know that Jesus is God, where would you go right off the bat? I don't want anybody to answer that out loud. I just want you thinking. And that can be hard when you get put on the spot. You know, sometimes you're not really quite prepared maybe for the way that somebody asks a question or whatever the case may be. But that book details that out. And if you think, man, I don't know If I know, maybe that's not the easiest one, or maybe that would be an easier one, and we could pick a harder one, but how to develop a good prayer life, or different things. Just ask yourself about any one of those, and if you would have a little bit of hesitation and say, man, I'm not quite sure why I would turn right away in the Bible to say to somebody, hey, you can do this in order to grow in that area. How much more do you think somebody that hasn't been in church as long as you, hasn't been discipled, hasn't had somebody sit down with them and communicate those things to them, a new believer who certainly, maybe they were raised here in the South and they kind of have a better basic understanding of some of these truths, but they certainly need to have it put into perspective as they begin to grow. If you would struggle a little bit, they would struggle a lot of bit, and so somebody's got to sit down and help them. Otherwise, it's going to take them 25 years to get what maybe they could have gotten in 14 weeks. And if they can get that just packed in, how much more fruitful can their life become? And it's not a pragmatic thing. It's not really like, well, we got to get the most bang for our buck type thing. It's just God wants us, as I said, we referenced, and I didn't have you turn to it necessarily, but at the front of the book, it says in John 8:31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We want them to be a faithful, spiritually maturing, committed disciple. We've got to get them in the Word of God. Because this is it. Without the Word of God, they're going to fail. I'm going to fail. We're all going to fail. I mean, it is the foundation of the Christian life. So we've got to get them into the Word of God and get the Word of God into them. And so that's what this program really will help us to facilitate. And whether they're a new believer, somebody that's been a believer for a long time, just never really got grounded, and maybe they were in a church that didn't really teach all that clearly, or taught some things that were pretty far off, or maybe the gospel was accurate or something like that, these are things that would greatly help them, okay? Even if they've been in it for a long time. And then the third one, to prioritize obedience to the teaching aspect of the Great Commission, which I said earlier as well. Okay, format. This is underneath the philosophy. So how are we actually going to approach this? Well, very simply, in a one-on-one mentorship type way. Or if it's a couple that we have, maybe a husband and wife just got saved or something to that effect, or like I said, just moved into the church and don't know that much or something, and they would like to go through the program. We think they'd be a good candidate for it. Husband and wife, a couple. We might pair a couple up. If there's a couple that would like to do that, but sometimes it's more effective even to divide that up and let the guy take the guy, the girl take the girl. It's always the guy and guy, girl and girl, as you would probably expect. But one-on-one or maybe two-on-two, but that's about as big as it would ever get. And if we did that, we'd probably put a couple of these tables together and to make that a little bigger if we had to have a larger group. My wife and I, as an example, we're discipling a couple right now. And so we're in the process. And so just trying to work some of those things out and hoping that even this time we'll make the schedules line up a little bit better here in the future. But that's the way it'll work. It's just you sitting down across the table from somebody else and just talking to them about the Bible. And so it's really just one-on-one Bible study. It's really what it is. And you know, if you ever had an atmosphere or a moment like that before, how helpful that can be for conversation, for questions, for somebody that doesn't know a lot, not to have the pressure of thinking, man, I'm going to look really, really weird or really silly or really dumb if I ask that question. Because it's just one-on-one. And by the time you're a few lessons in, you're going to be there's going to be a rapport between the two of you that they're going to feel open to ask those questions. And you're going to feel open to make those more direct applications as well. And that can be really, really helpful to their growth also, because you're there with them. And one-on-one allows for, therefore, I have a couple of points there, specific mentoring according to a person's individual needs and spiritual maturity level in their life. If you're working one-on-one with somebody, and you may find out pretty fast sometimes in a discipling relationship that somebody knows a little bit more, so you don't have to spend as much time just saying some of the basic things. For instance, if somebody doesn't even know where the book of James is in the Bible. And there's a scripture reference in here for you to go to the book of James and look up a verse and read it. It's going to take you a little bit more time to get them there. Because the right thing to do would not be like, hey, look, we're going to go to James, and you just kind of flip there real fast, and you get there and you read it and you go on. Because discipleship is teaching. And by the time you get done with 14 weeks of teaching, because that's how long the program is by lessons, though it really will probably take on average around 20 weeks to finish it, so about 4 months. And so by the end of 4 months, if you spending time with them, they should know their way around the Bible a little bit. Because you're going to say, hey, the book of James. They're like, I don't even know where that's at. We're like, oh, a great way to find it is go to your table of contents. This is for that person that doesn't know. Go to your table of contents. Just look up the page number. It'll get you to the first page, and you walk them through chapters and verses. And it's a delight to explain something that's inherent in what you think about when you think about the Bible. To explain that to somebody else is just really invigorating. Just to get somebody that just knows that little and to be able to pass even something that simple onto them can be really a special moment. But you may find somebody knows the books of the Bible, they've got to memorize, you know, forwards and backwards. They might be able to beat you to the book of Habakkuk, right? And so you're not going to spend as much time. You're not going to tell them where to find the table of contents, all right? And so, you know, you cater it to their needs. And that's one of the joys of having a one-on-one or two-on-two mentorship type relationship. It encourages openness. Like I said a little bit ago, they're going to be able to ask you those deeper, maybe even harder questions. And let me say a word there. Hard questions are good, even if you don't know the answers. We've all been asked a question before that we didn't know the answer to. And sometimes it's made us feel really bad. In this type of setting, don't let it make you feel bad. Don't let that be the thing that you're like, man, I don't know if I want to get involved in this because I don't think I could explain that. The basic thing is everything that you need to convey to get the basics across is in the book. And if somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to, all you have to do is just say, you know what, I don't have a good answer for that. Or I can't. I've had times where I've been discipling people and they've asked me a question. I couldn't think of where to find that verse. I couldn't find it on my phone in the 15 seconds that I wanted to spend in that time. And I just had to say, I don't remember where that's at, but I'll find it. I'll look it up and I'll bring it back. And next week, we'll start right there. We'll cover that real quick. Or if I bump into you between now and then, I'll tell you then or shoot you a text to answer that question. But just don't let that be the discouraging thing that says, I don't know enough to do this. The likelihood is you very likely do, and we'll try to get you ready here in the next few weeks, even if you really, really don't think that you would be ready. So it encourages openness by allowing those things. It develops a deep and nourishing bond between those who are involved. You know, a lot of people will get grounded in a church because they know somebody close in that church. Relationships are one of the greatest ties that just get people locked into a ministry. And this type of setting helps you develop that type of relationship with someone. So a new believer, there's a new couple that's been here probably about 6 times since Easter, and I know they have some different challenges that they face with some different things, and I reached out to them just a little about a month or so ago and told them about our newcomers fellowship that we had a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks. I don't even remember now. It's kind of gone by pretty fast, but reached out to them and they were able to come to that and they were so appreciative. Oh, thank you for reaching out and that text. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, but to say that it's relationships that do that. You know, announcements in church are very ineffective. You say, oh, how could you say that? Because I make them, right? I know how effective they are and are not, right? And I could say, hey, come to the Newcomers Fellowship. I could say all the same things that I would say on a phone call in my announcements. And it will not mean the same thing than if I just made the phone call. It just makes a difference. And this type of format helps us to establish those relationships. And it provides a close relationship with those to help the new believer or member be more connected with the church. Those two kind of went together. I'm not sure why I put both of them on there. So, all right, number 3, the people involved, all right? We're just about done, though we've only made it through like one third of the paper. There's just a lot more wording here, but it's going to be quick to go over because I just wanted to spend a lot of time on the philosophy. And you say, Daniel, you did not answer half the questions I thought you'd answer, because I can only say so much in 45 minutes, and I may talk fast, but I don't want to talk that fast, right? So we've got next week, we've got the next week, we've got, not the next week, it's the week of Thanksgiving, then the week after that, and so we're going to keep going over some of these things, keep talking about this stuff, and so don't feel pressure. You can come to all of them if you want to, and then that first week of January, you could say, hey, Brother Daniel, I just don't think this is for me. That, like I said, that will not offend me one bit, and you don't have to feel any pressure at all, but the people involved, all right? Letter A, the discipler slash mentor. We'll primarily use the word discipler, but mentor is really the concept that you should have in mind. And so let me read this to you. The discipler, the definition of the discipler, this is what I want you thinking about, though there's a lot more that could be said, is one who enters a one-on-one relationship with a new believer or ungrounded believer to guide them through the continue program, this book, and provide a mature Christian friend for the purpose of mentoring. So really explained a lot of those concepts already, but I want to have a clear definition. A description, we'll just kind of fill in some gaps there, says the discipler must possess a genuine love for and interest in the life of his or her disciple, a desire to reach and train people for Christ, a loyalty to the pastor and church, and a spiritual gift, and thus spiritual gifts of teaching and exhortation. And all those things are going to be essential, because as you go on, it's going to be very important for you to be able to model, like I said, all the things that we hope to see. And then exhortation and teaching are obviously, those are the gifts that you need to exhort and to teach. And so, but that, it helps you as you go. You might say, well, I just don't explain things very well. I get tongue-tied all the time. Then maybe this may not be the ministry for you. And that would be okay, because it wouldn't be the gift that God gave you. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of other things. But you might say, I really think God wants me to do this, even though I have that problem. We'll work with you. If you want to follow God and God says do this, then you do that, even if it's hard. And so that would be what we want you to think about just real briefly there. Letter B, the disciple. The disciple is the one who is the learner in the relationship with the discipler. Obviously, that would be almost inherent in the way we think about it. They are committed, this is important, to walking through the continued program under the discipler's guidance. You know, commitment is very helpful on your side and on their side. Because if we just kind of like grab people and say, hey, you should come to this, and we line you up with people that we don't even ever explain it to them, they don't have any idea really, and they're like, oh yeah, that sounds really good. And then you come, and you're ready, and you've studied, and you've got your refreshments, and you've got your table, and you're all ready, and they don't show up the first week. You're going to be like, oh man, you're going to call them, because we'll talk about that later on, but you're going to call them and be like, hey, I missed you last week, or you're going to text them, hey, I miss you, I'll look forward to next week. And what if they never answer your text? Then what are you going to do? All week you're going to be like, oh man, we're going to study again. You're going to show up. You're going to get your refreshments. Whatever. You know, you're going to sit down at your table. And then I'll show up again. That's discouraging. And sometimes that happens. You ever been a new Christian before? Did you fulfill everybody's expectations of you when you were a new Christian? I know I didn't. I was part of the process that put that staple in my pastor's toe. Okay, if you heard me say that on Sunday night. And so, I mean, there's discouragements that happen along the way. We'll work through some of those things as we go. But the beginning point is when we try to get somebody in the process, in the program, is trying to make sure that they are willing to commit to being here. And if they can't be here on a Wednesday night, we'll make another time work. And that may not be, you may say, well, I thought I was going to get to go with them, but my schedule won't meet up with them. We might just need to shift it around, because the most important thing is that they get grounded, not that we necessarily get the person that we wanted to go through the program or process with. And so sometimes schedule does not allow for a Wednesday night meeting time. The Wednesday night meeting time is just a baseline, because if it's not on the schedule, it's probably not a priority. So we're certainly going to put it on the schedule, try to make this the hub of those times. But I have met, really personally, I have met with more people in other times than I have met with people in the regularly scheduled times in the ministries and places that I've been. I've met with people at Panera Bread, at my house, and in other restaurants and other places, because that's just what would work for them. Maybe it was closer. Maybe they couldn't be here on a Wednesday night or something like that. So that is certainly adaptable. That is being here and doing it would be it's an easy time. We have childcare. All those things are taken care of. That's why we wanted to have it during a normal church time, because it makes some of those things a lot easier. But sometimes that's just not the reality. So, but they have to commit regardless, or they need to have that commitment level. Otherwise, it's going to be really frustrating for you, and then probably discouraging to them, because they'll also have that in their mind that they let you down, and that's going to be another barrier they have to overcome in the future. So we don't want to push somebody into it too early. We just got to work with people, but I'm running out of time here. So then the description. So just once again to fill in some more gaps. A disciple is either, and I've said a lot of this already, a new believer who needs to be grounded in the basics of the Bible, or a believer who's never been taught these basics after their salvation and therefore has experienced very little growth in their life. The disciple can either be new to church or a longtime member who takes this opportunity to become more grounded in God's Word. And I wanted to say, want that to be very much clear as we go forward, because what I want all of us doing, and not just us in this room, but everybody else as well. I'm going to meet with adult Sunday school teachers probably here soon and talk them through some of this, because a lot of these, a lot of people are going to come maybe from within those classes and be like, oh, that person would be really good. We'll announce it there. We'll try to sign people up through those classes and just try to get people involved. But what we all need to be doing is we all need to be thinking as we go forward about people who could benefit from this. And I already have some in my mind. People that I would like to tap on their shoulder and say, hey, I think this would be a great program for you to go through. I think this would really help you. Or, there's some people I'm going to tap on their shoulder and say, hey, I think you'd be great at discipling. You weren't here on Wednesday night, and that's totally fine. I've recorded this, and so I can share this part of it with them, and we can go on. But I'm going to try to get other people involved as well. So you be thinking, and I'll be thinking, we'll be praying, and all of those things. And then the last person that I want to mention that is involved in this process is the Spirit of God. I said it already, we need the Word of God, but let's not neglect the fact that we need the Spirit of God as we go forward. Because sanctification is a spiritual process. You cannot manipulate growth in somebody's life. You can't have all the programs, dot all the I's, cross all the T's, and just kind of churn out committed, spiritually mature disciples. I mean, it's not the way it works. We must operate in the power and under the guidance of the Spirit as we come alongside people. So we got to depend on Him. We need to teach and emphasize the importance of His role in all of this. But our goal, our goal is not to just transfer information. There have been a lot of very knowledgeable people, biblically knowledgeable people, who were not good Christians. I mean, they knew a lot of the Bible, but they were lost, or they were very, very destructive even to Christian principles. So the transfer of knowledge is not the goal. The transformation of life is the goal. But you and I do not accomplish that transformation. We just cooperate with the Spirit as it is accomplished. And so we are going to try to emphasize that as we go forward. This is part of the sanctification process. Helping somebody grow and be grounded in all of those different things and answering a lot of their questions. And as you're discipling somebody, that relationship, you'll get to go through some of the ups and some of the downs with them. And you'll help them, you'll be able to help them through some of those ups and downs, even as they progress in the sanctification journey, but ultimately it's the Spirit that does that. And so that's the third point. The fourth point, I've really already said a lot about it, but the program we'll use is this book. And so 14 lessons, average of about 20 weeks probably. There's a couple of them that are a little bit longer, and it might be hard for you to cover maybe in one sitting, because that would be the goal. Next week, one of my major goals next week is just going to kind of give you a sample of what 1 week of a discipleship, normal discipleship, once it's all up and running, what it's going to look like, how we're going to kind of walk through that. So that'll be what we talk about next week. But so we've said a lot of that already. So last thing I want you to think about as we close. The prayer focus that we should have. As we pray, let us be specific to pray for the ministry itself. In the next coming weeks, even if you say, this is the only one I think I'm going to come to of these, and that's fine, I want to ask you to pray. Pray for this team and whoever else God may add to it. Pray that God would help us to have the right mindset and the right focus, that excitement would grow, that we would be able to pass this along to others, that we would be able to get people involved, but that we would be ready for what God wants to do. Pray for the team. Pray for new believers. Pray that throughout the holiday season, start praying even tonight before you go to bed. Pray that God would allow some people to get saved over the next few weeks, and we'd be able to see some of them start discipleship in early January. Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be exciting for you to be able to lead somebody to the Lord and then disciple them? I mean, that's one of the great goals right there. And if you lead somebody to Christ, maybe in your workplace or something like that, try to get them here. Just, hey, on Wednesday night, I love to start sitting down and teaching you some basic things through the Word of God. And that's really the purest model of how discipleship is supposed to work. We reach them and we help them grow in that, in those different things. And so you would certainly have the priority in being the discipler in that particular case. But pray for new believers. Pray for all those who are already believers that may be able to get involved in this, and pray for that official start date. And though I did not tell you the exact date, but that early January date. And then also pray for those involved. Pray for yourself. Pray for those that you disciple, that you will disciple. Pray for, as you go on in a discipling relationship, pray for the person that you're discipling. Not just now, but then. Just pray for him daily. Pray for the, if you're a guy, you're discipling a guy, pray for Josh today. Lord bless him wherever he's at, because you're just, from Wednesday to Wednesday, you're just 6 days or less away from meeting with him again. And you're going to be asking him how their week went. And you're just going to become part of their life. And a big part of that is just praying for him. And pray for those who should be discipled, who should get in this program. Pray the Lord would work there. And then just pray for God's blessing. We definitely need the blessing of the Lord as we try to do this. Like I said, this is a spiritual work. It's a spiritual warfare. Discipleship is engaging in one of the most intense battlefields of spiritual warfare that there is. Because if the devil can get somebody off track in their earliest days as a new believer, the likelihood of them getting back on track anytime soon is very, very low. And so if we're trying to come alongside people that are new believers, we have just walked into spiritual warfare. And we need the Lord's help. It can be extremely exciting, while extremely difficult all at the same time. I don't want to paint a bad picture. I don't want to paint a glowing and fuzzy picture either. I just want you to know there's nothing like it on both sides of the spectrum. And so let's pray that the Lord would bless. We're going to pray to close this this meeting officially. But if you have any questions, feel free to ask them after that. If you want to just kind of shout it out, I might get somebody else's attention before they go or something, or come up to me or anything like that, certainly be good to do that. But Leroy, you've had a lot of discipling relationships with people along the way throughout the years. You might think, I don't know about that, but you have. And I'd be encouraged to hear you close us in prayer tonight, if you don't mind.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one that helps us as we go out and talk to people. And Lord, you help us understand your word. Now, this going on about disciples, there's a lot of people out there.